The 2010 NBA Finals do not go the way the Celtics thought they would, and we can blame the injuries and more on this Wednesday. Locked On Celtics, Millie. Let's go. Rain and Jay's back with the vengeance at all the real Celtics fans in attendance. This is the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, it's the best way. Melly. John Corrales here of MassLive.com saying thank you once again for making this show part of your daily routine. Very happy to have you here on a regular basis this week, condensed week. Normally it's 5 days a week. I'm on vacation. I'm still podcasting for you while we're on vacation, and 3 days. So yesterday, today, and a show tomorrow, that's going to be this week. And hope you enjoy a little condensed week. Back next week with a full slate of shows, and then marching forward with the NBA coming back, and looks like they're still on track to come back. Want to thank our sponsor for today's show, rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the car parts you will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. Today, first, I just want to mention, there was huge, huge breaking news on the system of returning. The NBA players got a whole big memo, and it was detailed in a number of different places. There is a lot. There is a lot to unpack. That's an entire show. And I did an entire show on that on Locked On NBA. So this show, Locked On Celtics, will continue today to be just the 2010 NBA Finals. We're continuing our deep dive throughout Celtics history. We're in the final decade. We started out in the 1950s. We're in the final decade now. The conversation about everything that was detailed in that memo is going to be on Locked On NBA. Jake Madison and I host the Wednesday Locked On NBA podcast. We broke it all down on the Wednesday Locked On NBA. So after you're done listening to this, go listen to the Locked On NBA, because that's a full breakdown. And I don't want to, not only do I not want to repeat myself, I think Jake and I did a pretty good job bouncing off one another and really breaking down everything in that memo. So go check that out. Now, we continue our deep dive, like I said. Me, Chuck McKinney, Mike Dinan of RedsArmy.com. We go into the 2010 NBA Finals. This time, the Celtics are... They start on the road, and they lose game one. They win game two. They steal one on the road. Then the Lakers come back, win game three. Celtics win game four and game five, take a 3-2 lead. This is the part that really hurts. When you're up 3-2 in the NBA Finals, you have to close that out. You have to close that out. And the Celtics were not able to. We know the disaster. We can start at the beginning, but we know that the disaster with the Kendrick Perkins injury in game six, and then game seven obviously slips away again. And probably considering the whole season, that Orlando series, this series, things slipping out of the Celtics' hands, it's almost appropriate that this is how they lost the NBA Finals this year.
It did follow the script, that's for sure. It was just a tremendously frustrating result out of this. I know that game seven, I've never watched a replay of it, and I never will. It was, hard to handle at the time, and I don't even want to think about it, really. But I will, because we're talking about it.
I mean, they were up 13 points in the third quarter, no?
Yeah, but... All right, we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Let's start
here. We got to talk about the early part first. I'm sorry, I brought it up, but I want to talk a little bit about the games before that, because that was also like a roller coaster. How about Ray Allen? In game two of that series, he made 8 of 11 threes. And in game three, he was 0 of 8 from three and 0 of 13 from the floor. Now, what? When does Ray Allen, how many games in his career do you think Ray Allen shot 0 for? Probably you could count it on one hand.
Not right.
Yeah.
They had a chance to take a 2-1 lead in the series at home, and they lost by 7. Ray shoots 0 for 13. They lose by 7. That's,
I mean, Ray,
see the frustration.
This entire series. I mean, that's one of my memories about this series was just how underwhelming Ray was. I mean, his percentages were just abysmal, 36% and 29% from three. So, it seems like, most of his success came in one game, but I just have those memories of him not being able to hit threes or jump shots, even when he was wide open. So aside from the perk injury, it's just Ray really, really struggling in this series. It's fine. It's in the finals. You're in your last couple of weeks of the season. Everybody's gassed. Shooting percentages are never pretty. But like you said, Mike, Ray really, he was just erratic. And that was just completely against somebody who prides himself on just always being professional and steady and routine. It was completely unlike him.
I'm not trying to blame him individually.
I am.
But, you count on him for scoring, and in the finals, you just can't accept that happened. You can't deal with that. You're not going to overcome 0 for 13 from your shooting guard. But they did bounce back, the Celtics. Game four was the Shrek and Donkey game. Nate Robinson did jump on Big Baby's back at the end of that game, and there was another well-known photograph of him getting the piggyback ride. And then I think they had a kind of a crazy post-game press conference, right?
Mm-hmm.
They combined for 30 points in that game, and the Celtics won 96-89, tie up the series. Then the next game, game five, Pierce, 27 points to lead the way, and they were ahead 3-2.
So let me answer your question, first of all. How many times has Ray Allen gone 0 for? Who wants to take a guess at how many times in his career Ray Allen has gone 0 for a game?
I said you could count on one hand. I'm going to say 4 times.
Nope.
Yeah, you're going to stick with that.
You're going to need a very deformed hand.
Really?
18 times. In his career.
Well, I was giving him more credit than he deserved.
Yeah, there you go.
18 times.
18. Most of them must have been towards the end.
That is correct, actually. So only twice with Milwaukee and once with Seattle did it happen. It happened 6 times with Boston. Most of them in Boston were single-digit games. So there was an 0-4, an 0-4, an 0-3, an 0-3. The 0-13 is by far his worst shooting percentage. But yes, so those 6 times with Boston, and then with Miami, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 times with Miami. So most of them did come at the end. So, but yeah, 0 for 13 was his worst. Never, the only time in his career he's taken more than nine shots, 10 shots or more without making one. You want to put it that way?
Oh boy, timing is everything.
Yeah, I guess so.
Rashid was equally. I shouldn't say equally. Rashid was worse. I mean, his percentages in this series, even his rebounding numbers, he was like the 1, 2, 3, 4, like the 5th rebounder on the team, you know, as far as rebounds per game. I mean, we brought him here to provide some punch and to, you know, he had some size to rebound. And that was one of the story. I mean, I just have so many visions of the Lakers getting offensive rebounds and winning the rebounding advantage. I think by this point, all those Bud Lights that she had been having in the, you know, in the post game were starting to weigh him down because he didn't do anything. I mean, he shot 36%, 24 from three. You know, he just wasn't a factor at all. So he just completely, you know, disappeared in the series, and that was problematic, obviously.
Did you see who the Celtics' leading rebounder was for the NBA Finals in 2010?
Rajon.
Rajon Rondo.
Yes.
Back with more on the 2010 NBA Finals when we come back. But first, rockauto.com is the place you need to go if you need anything for your car. Okay, I'm not a car guy. I'm not somebody that's going to rebuild an engine or anything like that. But I own a car, and I know you got to buy stuff for it. So even something as simple as windshield wipers or things for inside your car, you can go to rockauto.com and get those at a reliably low price. If you are somebody who knows how to rebuild an engine, or you're putting together an old classic car, or you just know how to fix some of the things that in your current car, good for you. That's awesome. I kind of wish I knew how to do that stuff. Rockauto.com is going to hook you up because they're not like the chain stores where maybe a professional mechanic can go in there and get a discount and you pay a different price. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody. They are reliably low. They always offer the lowest prices rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. The price is the price. RockAuto.com is for everybody. It does not require a membership. You don't need an account login. One of the examples here is for a fuel pump assembly for a Honda Odyssey that costs $354 at Advance. RockAuto.com has it for $217. That's a big difference. That's going to save you a lot of money. That money in your pocket can go somewhere else. It can go into a bank account, can go into something that you can save and make money on. So go to RockAuto.com. It's a family business that's been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com, see all the parts for your car or truck, and write "Locked On" in how did you hear about us box so they know we sent you. It's amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
The Celtics have a 3-2 lead, and they're in L.A. for the last two games. And Perk goes down with an ACL injury, which that all of a sudden changes the dynamic tremendously. Because now he's one guy that you really can't lose, and they lose him early in that game, and the Celtics just cannot recover. They cannot rebound. They score 67 points in game six, which is just disgusting. I don't even know what the record is. I didn't even want to look at what the record is there, but the Celtics end up just falling apart. The Celtics bench was outscored by the Lakers bench 24-0 going into the fourth quarter.
Yikes.
That was just insane. I mean, a disaster all throughout. And so, but the Celtics still have another chance. But like you said, this is where you need Rasheed Wallace. This is why you got him. And this is where things really start to fall apart, because now I remember I was at a bar in Boston. What's the bar next to the Fours? What's that little dive bar next to the Fours?
Sully's Tap.
Yes. That's where I chose to watch game seven of the NBA Finals with my brother and my dad. And we felt good. The Celtics were up, what'd you say? They were up 13?
13.
13 in the third quarter. And things just, oh, God.
I mean, it was a bar fight of a game, right? There weren't a lot of points. Guys weren't, you know, the shooting was not solid. But you're right. You feel like in a game of that type of style, where it's a bar fight, when you can stretch the lead that far, that buckets are that hard to get, that you're going to just, you're eventually just going to come out on top.
But Rasheed Wallace in the fourth quarter, no rebounds. No rebounds in the fourth quarter. Kevin Garnett, one rebound in the fourth quarter. Ray Allen, well, he was not a rebounder. But Paul Pierce, three rebounds in the fourth quarter. Now you look at the other side. Kobe Bryant, four rebounds in that fourth quarter. Pau Gasol, six, three offensive rebounds. Those offensive rebounds were the killer. And you watch them.
And that's where Perk, right? So, you know, when you look at Perk, you say, okay, I mean, he doesn't put up a lot of points, but he was playing 20 minutes a game and he could defend and he was their second leading rebound in this series, almost six, right? Not a great number for someone his size, but in this series, where every minute counts, where guys are already gassed, that matters. So I know, you know, Lakers fans might like to laugh off Perk's injury and the impact, but when you look at if he plays 20 minutes, then it's possible that Wallace plays 5 minutes fewer, Garnett plays 5 minutes fewer, Davis plays a few minutes. Guys have a little bit more energy, and some of those rebounds in a game this close, maybe three rebounds, defensive rebounds, the Celtics corral. And that's 6 points the Lakers don't get. So that's a huge difference. I mean, the Celtics would have been better off losing. You know, I don't know. Obviously, Perk was a big part, but in that area when rebounding and size was such a problem in this series, to lose a player, it just had a huge impact. It's pissing me off.
as a whole, the Lakers did kill the Celtics on the boards that night. They had 23 offensive rebounds. So I'm not sure how many second chance points, but it had to be a lot. I mean, the Lakers only shot 32% for the game.
Yeah.
Kobe was 6-for-24. That was, as we know well, yeah. I think that's well known. But I mean, they couldn't make a shot, but they had so many second chances. And the Celtics did wear down. There's no doubt about that. By the fourth quarter, they got outscored in the fourth quarter 30-22. And, you know, we have to mention the referees.
Yes, we do.
Okay, we have to mention Joe Crawford, Dan Crawford, and Scott Foster. Because the free throws in the fourth quarter were 21-6. Come on, man. You know? And the Lakers had a 9-0 run in the like mid part of the fourth quarter, put them up six with 5 minutes to go. But then I still can't believe it to this day, that goddamn three pointer by Ron Artest. I mean, Meta World Peace. that killed.
Yeah.
That was the backbreaker, because Ray Allen had just made a three to bring the Celtics to within 3 points. This is like in the final minute and a half of the game. And Ray made a three, which was he shot only 3-of-14 that night overall, 2-of-7 on threes. But he made this one, and it was crucial. It looked like maybe the Celtics could claw back, and then freaking Meta World Peace hits a three-pointer. I still don't believe it.
Yeah.
I mean, Artest was – when you look at the difference between this Lakers team and the team that the Celtics beat in the finals 2 years ago, when we were going up against like Radmanovic and Vucevic and whomever else is such, like Artest was a huge upgrade. I mean, he had his warts and stuff, but in this game, like, you know, you said he had that shot, and you look at his numbers, his defense on Paul, he really made Paul work for anything. I mean, he had 20 points and 5 steals. He played 46 minutes.
Yeah.
He was a huge factor in the Lakers winning this. I'll always think that. Just, you know, because he's another guy that you that annoys the shit out of you until he's on your team. But just watching him defend and hustle and just be relentless, he you know, you respect that. I know he's got a little bit of crazy in him, but I certainly respect that part of him. He was a huge part of this win, huge part.
Yeah. Yeah, he was. And, you know,
I mean, this was – sorry, John, but I'm on a roll here. No. This was the game, you know, right? You win this series. Kobe goes 6-for-24. Rest in peace, Kobe, right? But this is like – if you're a Celtics fan and you can win in L.A. on their home court, beat them again in a game where Bryant is just, you know, a disaster from the field – like it was there. Like we were so close to having this, you know, uber satisfying win, and to have the officials just rip it from our hearts. That's a little sarcasm there, but you know, and Mike's right though. There was a lot of shady officiating, but you know, we were so close. Like this would have been so satisfying. And to come up short, it still hurts. Where are we? 10 years now, and it still freaking hurts.
Yeah.
Well, it hurts especially because we haven't been back there.
Right.
Right. Haven't come close since. Or well, did come close once, but you know.
But yeah,
if we had another chance and or won again, you know, as a fan base, we would have forgotten about this.
The Locked On Podcast Network stands against racism and social injustice. That is why we, the hosts, are making personal donations to local and national organizations that are fighting for change. In the month of June, Locked On is matching the total of all host donations up to an additional $10,000. To make your own donation along with us, please visit lockedonpodcasts.com/Black Lives Matter. Follow us on our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. I've been telling you about Built Bar for a while. I've got a couple of boxes sitting here. I put them in the fridge and I like them a little chilled. And they're great in the morning if I need to run out. I got a breakfast on the go or after a workout, after a run. I went for a run, got a quick little 3 miles in, had a Built Bar afterwards. Great for getting stuff into the body that it needs to rebuild, and not a ton of the extra stuff like too many calories or carbs or sugars. You can get 15 to 20 grams of protein in a bar. You're going to get something like 115 to 170 calories. That's nothing. Very low sugars, very low carbs. And as they kind of tinker with their recipe, they've got a few million bars that they're looking to get rid of at a deep discount, up to 50% off. Depending on how many boxes you buy. And on top of that, 100% of the profits from the 8 million bars that they're selling, getting rid of, 100% of the profits will be donated to organizations that support education, poverty, equality, and ending hate and racism. So go to BuiltBar.com, check it out, check out what flavors they have left. Go ahead and buy them at this deep discount and use the promo code LOCKEDON because that'll get you $10 off your first order of the best tasting protein bar on the market. It's frustrating because this is when you look at things through a what if spectrum. You have a championship, a team that was rolling, and then because of an injury, you can't say they would have won a championship, but they were clearly the best team in basketball when Kevin Garnett went down the year before. And then they go through this season and they get to a game 7 and or game 6. Like who knows? Maybe the Celtics win in 6. Maybe something happens there. And instead of like falling apart because of the injury, they come together and they win. Who knows? But you can say, hey, even if they lose game 6, game 7, if you plug Kendrick Perkins in there, there's no way that Pau Gasol gets 9 offensive rebounds. You know, yeah. That's where you say, like, and Lakers fans can say what they want. That's fine. They won, and they can. I'm sure there's a strong difference of opinion. But Celtics fans have one championship, a championship that was probably going to be there if Kevin Garnett doesn't get hurt, and a third potential championship. And meanwhile, they watch Kobe celebrate beating the Celtics, going on to a three-peat. Like, this is like, it hurts, especially watching that. And you talk about, like, legacy changes. That does change a legacy a little bit. It changes the dynamic of how things go. But, you know, all you can look at is the way things went. And maybe instead of sitting here saying, well, if only we had Kendrick Perkins out there, maybe if only Rasheed Wallace took more of this regular season seriously and wasn't running out of gas. I don't know. And even that, I don't know how fair that is, because he retired after this. So I don't know how much he even had in the tank, no matter how seriously he took it. Like, but those things are what they are. And you just wish that one of those things could have gone differently and the Celtics would have been celebrating a championship instead of now we're really going down a path of, like, all right, things are starting to fall apart again for the Celtics.
Well, I mean, home court matters in the NBA, and I'll always claim that, right? So if you're going to coast in the regular season, if you're going to rest, load manage, then you need to be damn well good enough to sacrifice home court advantage. I mean, you can't tell me that if game seven, you know, if this game seven was played in the Garden and the Celtics are up 13, are they still going to blow the lead? Are the Lakers still going to be able to come back after that?
No, that's true.
Are all the calls still going to go their way? So, you know, I think, you know, you choose, and maybe as an organization, sometimes you do. You choose to rest or whatever. I don't know if load management was as prevalent back then as it is now. I don't think it was. But you pay a price for that. You know, you definitely pay a price for that. And it's like, I don't think you can watch the final 5 minutes of this game and think, man, you know, if you don't think home court advantage would have made a difference in this game, then I don't know what to tell you.
No, it's true. It's true.
Okay, Mike. Yeah, it definitely would have made a difference, because I don't see the Lakers, you know, in the typical scenario, Chuck, you know, you have a desperate team, but if they're at home, they are fueled by the fans for that comeback when they're down 13. And if they're on the road, then maybe they don't have that same kind of energy. And the home team, which if it had been the Celtics, hangs on to that lead. So, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's what I think is going to be, if we have an NBA season this year, which is going to be super fascinating with the playoffs in this bubble, without having any sort of, you know, crowd fueling momentum and runs and stuff. It's going to be fascinating to see how, you know, how that impacts the game. But anyway, let's flash, you know, we're fast forwarding 10 years. So.
I just wanted to throw out one thing having to do with the injuries. You know, we've talked in a lot of the past episodes of this series, John, we've talked about luck, you know, good luck, how the Celtics had so much good luck in certain things, and then how they've had so much bad luck, you know, all the way up to and including having a couple of players die. But if you just want to look at injury luck, this is the fourth time that I know of that they didn't win a title because of injuries. That would be 1958. Bill Russell sprained his ankle in the finals. They lost in six games. He didn't get to play every game. Mm-hmm. In 73, Havlicek separated his shoulder, and they ended up losing to the Knicks, and the Knicks went on to beat, I think, the Lakers. But the Lakers weren't dominant at all. If the Celtics had beaten the Knicks, they would have won the title. And then in 87, you had Parrish and McHale practically unable to walk, but they played and maybe weren't, or almost surely were not, as effective as they would have been, and they end up losing in the finals to LA. Mm-hmm. And now this Perkins, as you said, Chuck, if he was in there, even if he wasn't doing a lot, he at least would have taken up some of the minutes and let other people rest a little bit, keep their energy. So that's four different years in four different eras that you could say they lost because of an injury.
Yep.
That's my story anyway, and I'm sticking to it.
No, it's valid. I'm with you. I mean, I'm still staring at the 20 free throw attempt disparity, 37 to 17, but, you know, that's just the way it goes, I guess.
That is the 2010 season. Moving on tomorrow to the 2010-2011 season, and the Celtics trying again to keep that window open for Pierce, Garnett, and Ray Allen. So please continue to subscribe. If you have not subscribed, go ahead and click subscribe or follow on Spotify. If you have a good 5-star rating and a good written review, would be amazing. I would love it. I thank you very much. If you've done that already, it really, really helps. Thanks to our sponsors today, Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com. Tell them Locked On sent you. And then Built Bar, it's a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Go to builtbar.com. Use the promo code Locked On and you'll get $10 off your first order. Remember, go to Locked On NBA for Jake Madison and me breaking down that memo to NBA players. It's a lot, and that podcast is about 35 minutes or so of us really getting into the nitty-gritty, including what Adam Silver said about the NBA coming back. It's a lot of information there, so go check out Locked On NBA.